I have a pencil.
I know.
Same here, but did we actually do Shalosh, or did we just start?
We're gonna do it again.
I can't stand that accent.
More of Yehezkel, that's great.
Do you have extra copies? I have three, but they're not here.
I just have one.
No, two. I'm sorry, I don't know where my other two are. No, I wanted to give you my extras, but I can't find them. I know.
Okay. Yeah, we finished with three. Okay, we finished three, so we said, okay, God's hand was upon me. And he took me out, ויוציאני ברוח אדוני, and with God's spirit he took me out, ויניחני בתוך הבקעה, and he put me in the valley, and the valley itself, she, in Hebrew is she, בקעה, full of bones, right?
Yeah.
והעבירני, you have a direct object with העביר, and we talked about עבר העביר, like אחד האחיל, right? So he passed me through, right, over them. Saviv, 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 sub, 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 right? Saviv, saviv, round and round. Round and round the valley, of course. And then he said, Vehine rabot me'od. Rabot me'od is feminine, like atzamot. So that's how we know it refers to the star, to the bones. I will keep today saying
to the bones of the valley. To the bones of the valley.
The bones. Rabot. Big
hour oh, singular.
One
right? Atzamot rabot. Here is the adjective, you see? Vehine rabot me'od al pnei habik'a. Vehine yevashot me'od. So they were all over the face of the valley, and they're very dry. Yavesh, yevasha, yevashim, yevashot, steady verb. Yavesh, yevasha, yevashim, yevashot.
Can we clarify again the formation of the
Ve'evirani? Okay, Ve'evirani. So this is synthetic language. Biblical Hebrew is a synthetic language. I'm combining three words in one. So we're going to put Ve in parentheses because that's going to, because it's not part of the verb.
Okay.
Okay? I'm going to go to this side and I'm going to write if il like mohid li. But when I have a guttural here, this is changing. He e chil. He e vid. Vegam he evir. Right? This is from Eved. He-e-vir.
So it's he-e-vir.
He-e-vir. Because otherwise you cannot explain this yod. You have a he.
Right.
You have a yod. And you know the root avah from pa'al. He-e-vir. And this is a suffix that in Biblical Hebrew is known as direct object pronoun attached, stands for ani, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, but direct object pronoun separate is oti, right? Mm-hmm. We learned that in book two, right? Oti, otcha, otcha, oto, otcha.
Where is that word in?
When we break this, who?
First word.
Ezir, oti. And who is oti? Who is speaking?
Yehezkel.
By the way, I want to talk about Yehezkel.
What's in a name?
Gabriel.
Michael.
Gabriel.
How
about
Yishmael? Uh-huh. Yeah.
Okay.
Something is bad.
Oh, there's a name of God at the end of every word.
Right. So first of all, you have a name of God in all of them. So that is very clear. What's it? Yechazak.
be strong.
Will be strong.
So
yeah.
God will get stronger.
Mm-hmm. Ah.
Gabriel. The masculinity.
Oh, he. Yes, yes.
Of the God. Yisrael. What is Sarah?
To. Straight.
He was fighting the sin. Mm-hmm. So this is a future tense. Yisar El. So he fought with the God's angel, mm-hmm. right? Shmuel is the only one that's not a verb.
It's not
His
Shema.
Name is God.
Okay.
Shmuel.
Shmuel.
Yeah. Right? That's a combination of Shmuel.
His name is God. Oh, okay. Oh.
He will hear. God will hear. When he was born, he was given that name. Mm-hmm. Can you imagine when God needed to hear? Right? When he was a lot older, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What did you say about Gabriel?
Gabriel.
Masculinity. Okay. So that's Bakichaspa. Three. Vayomer Elai. Ben Adam. Hatichiena ha'atzamot ha'ele. Human, right? Son of Adam. Mm-hmm. Will these bones live? Like, is it possible? Is it a conceptual entity? Like, can you really imagine that? Va'omar, Adonai Elohim, Ataya Data. What kind of a question are you asking human?
You know.
So it's not just Adonai, it's Adonai Elohim, Ataya Data. Only you know. Vayomer Elai, and he told you. Hinave al ha'atzamot ha'ele. Ve'amarta aleihem. Ha'atzamot ha'yebeshot. Shim'u dvar Adonai. So, you have commas, and I stopped at the short because it's equivalent, okay? So, how will you translate this passage? So, first of all, I want to talk to you about Hinave. It's the only one occasion in the Bible that it's hitpael and the taf was swollen. Okay, it's a hitnabe.
Oh.
So that explains why they finish
working.
So when you open Gesenius, go to the section where, you know, word by word, and you look up this word, he will send you to the section to read about this phenomenon. It is only one word, one happening in the Bible. The Tifa became, was swallowed in the noon. The Tav, we'll talk about it another time. As we march forward. But Hinave.
So use the negation to say that there was something missing.
Okay. Hinave al ha'atzamot ha'ele. What does God tell? Okay, so Vayomer Elai, Amar Li, right? Amar Li, God was telling, told me.
Mm-hmm.
What did he say to him? Told him?
To make a prophecy.
You know.
Right. Hinave al ha'atzamot, what kind of a form is this?
The little Hinave is Hitael, so it's doing it to yourself.
So this is Hitzivui, though.
Oh, it's a command. It's a
Yadata?
Yeah.
We're talking about
so
you're commanding yourself.
God, no, God is
commanding
him. Okay, by a command form, God is telling him, prophesize over these bones. Ve'amarta aleihem, and you shall tell them. It's a semicolon, direct object, direct speech now. Ha'atzamot ha'yevashot, shimu dvar Adonai.
Hey, dry bones, listen up.
Exactly. Listen to God's
words.
Ko amar. Now, remember, this is Yechezkel. God is telling Yechezkel what he should say, how he should prophesy, which words to say in his prophecy. Ko amar Adonai Elohim la'atzamot ha'ele. Hine ani mevi vachem ruach v'chiyitem.
Check it out. I will bring to them the spirit of life.
Wait. Ani mevi. I bring.
Mevi.
Spirit.
Mevi. I bring.
Yes.
So present.
But the translation makes it future for some reason.
Because there is no present tense in the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
Is God giving him right in the here and now the spirit?
No.
He will in the future. That's why it went to the prayer to the future.
But the form is actually a present form. Yeah.
Of course. So what is the root?
It's a participle.
Both. It's participle. Yeah.
I am bringing.
I shall bring. Really, they want you to translate in the future. Here I, the Lord God, will bring upon you, am bringing upon you. It's a matter of speech. Spirits, and you shall live. Benatati aleichem gidim. Wait a minute, I didn't finish analyzing mevi.
Yeah.
Root.
Which one?
Mevi.
Oh, it's
bo.
That.
Bo. Which binyan, though?
Hifil.
No.
Is it Hifil?
Hifil.
No, P-L.
No, pa'al. I mean, pa'al is common. Oh, but it's the
doesn't it?
So, first of all, you have mem in the front of your pa'al.
Right.
Yeah.
You already know that bo appears within more than one binyan.
Right.
If it's pa'al, it's ba ba'a ba'im ba'od bati bata. Right? Ba ba'a ba'im ba'od. So it's not. Which other binyan has this music? Hifil is the one we didn't mention, so you really need to look into Hifil again into your charts. Lehavi. Hu hevi. Is that maybe? That's the participle. Hu yavi. Remember we talked about Mashiv Ruach Umurid Ad Hashem? To remember the Nun versus Yod? Mashiv Ruach Umurid Ad Hashem. Right? Abad Hu Heishiv or Meishiv. So from Mashiv Ruach Umurid Ad Hashem, we know the music in Hifil for what's the root of it? Mashiv Ruach Umurid Ad Hashem. No, it's not Shuv. What's the Geshvorta here?
Hashu.
I'm gonna put the Shlemim right here. Man, please. What's this? You see that there is the same music, there's just one letter fell out. Because it's the Mishporte. What is that letter? Which letter was called? We learned last week.
The Nun.
Exactly. So, Nashad, Haruach Noshevet, Rira. Right? Haruach Noshevet. Yesh Ruach Bachutz, Haruach. Nashva, Kol Halayla. In our prayers every morning, right? This time here. Morid. Yored Geshem, Yarad Geshem. Who is bringing down the rain? The one who brings, right? The one who brings the wind. The one who blows the wind and the one who brings down the rain. Right? Yarad. Hey, Yod and Hifil is O sound. Horid. Ani yored b'madregot u'morid et hatik sheli. Right? And don't forget, Hifil is causative. You're the one who causes that action to happen upon somebody else.
So God will cause you.
Right. God caused the wind to blow according to our prayers, and God caused the rain to come down. See that? Okay, so what's Heishiv Meshiv?
What causes
the
cause to come?
The cause?
I'm sorry.
That's what bring. That's right. Heishiv brought back.
The cause to come.
The cause to come. You bring something else back. Teshuva comes from here.
Havinu.
Heishiv is to answer. Hashivenu, right? Hashivenu to bring back.
Maybe. For instance, in the Amida, maybe Goel.
Louder, I cannot hear you.
In the Amida, maybe Goel.
Maybe Goel, if they can hear me. I'm sure they are right. Maybe.
Is it a participle there?
Yeah.
It is?
Yeah.
I always thought it was a verb.
You felt like you need to translate it as a verb?
That's what I thought, yeah.
In which prayer again?
The Amidah.
Amidah, yeah.
מחיה is פיאל. צריך מדבר, מחלקל, פיאל, מחיה, פיאל, סומך, מקיים. ומזי גואל לבני בהם, ממש בבר הבאה. אוקיי. The one who brings...
Okay.
In the prayer book, there are arguments about...
So it is to bring.
So, yeah,
you said, okay.
Umavi, the one who brings redemption. Umavi, the one who brings is a participle. Yeah?
I don't think we did.
Yes, we did. He feel intensely.
Oh.
We did. He feel in all of the exalt.
The way it's translated, it sounds good.
You should tell us what to do.
Okay, how did they translate? But don't forget that our class is for you to own it.
And brings a redeemer to
it.
Brings a redeemer. So what they did, because they couldn't handle both participles, they decided that Nevi would be the verb and Goel would be the redeemer. The one who brings a redeemer makes both of them the ones who are doing things. It's both participle usages. But it's a choice. I really feel that reading a prayer is a choice. And as much as I would love to accept their translation or anyone's translation, it's like what you want to make out of it. If you're comfortable with, you know...
We didn't get to Hefeel. It's chapter 7.
You once said to us, don't do Hefeel homework. So,
chapter 7.
But we can learn it. So can you just tell me
I'm not doing it.
My chart? Just those verbs, fruits.
No, we didn't do anything. My fault, it is in 7.
It's in 7.
Because once you told us, don't.
You know, there's no time in Torah, so
that's
all
right. So, well, can you just.
No, because it's loaded with ifs.
Okay, what's that? The name of just those net roots. Can you just say them again? What they mean? The top root is nun shin. All right, never mind.
You can look it up in the dictionary.
I'll look it up.
So, can I get something clear? Could I ask a question?
Yeah.
So, vet vav aleph is a shoresh that is shared by lavo and lehavi.
Yep.
So, okay.
It's a root that is used in multiple binyanim.
And each binyan has a different kind of feel to it.
You just have to figure out the context.
What did you call that feel?
That's
basic meaning.
The music.
No, it's also music too. But it's also a meaning change.
So
yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Low.
Ray.
Lillian. Leia. Blow.
Yeah.
Blow the wind.
Yeah.
Bring down.
Yeah. Yeah.
Return. Bring something else back.
Return.
It's to cause to blow, right?
Oh. Cause to blow.
To cause to.
In
cause to cause.
And the last is return or dwell?
This is part of the present tense, and this is he returned. He brought back.
He brought back.
He is bringing back. Right, present and versus past. That's
no, I, yeah, I know.
So that's so the bringing back is the gerund? Is the gerund bringing back? Bringing
the gerund bringing hava'ah. Well, we learned the
We haven't gotten to the
okay. We will do it again. Don't worry. Sorry. sorry. I always think of you as much further
smarter
away.
Than
no, you are smart. It has nothing to do with smartness. It's in terms of knowledge base. I always think that you're ahead. Okay.
Don't we all?
So we're.
May I remind you that you haven't told us, and I'm not asking you to do it now, how to derive nouns from verbs. Big nouns. Only gerunds.
I'm not touching the noun system.
Okay.
Emma, when you see a root and you're curious about which nouns are happy in that root, open a dictionary.
Yeah.
That's because noun derivation from a root is not as systematic as the verb system.
Oh.
is not.
We touched a little bit on it about 2 weeks ago, I think.
Usually we talk about it in the gerund forms.
Well, gerunds are a different issue.
Oh, yeah.
Gerunds are the verbal noun form. Okay? Okay, let's continue. So we actually get somewhere. So, first of all, Yechezkel is supposed to talk in God's words and say, I am bringing upon you, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Spirits, and you shall live. V'chiyitem. This is Vav conversive.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, no.
No,
it is not.
It's not. This is already future tense.
And you shall live.
And you shall live.
Yeah.
Yes.
Right? Tzivui.
Yeah. Tzivui.
Next one will be Vav.
V'natati alechem, that's right. Vav conversive here. V'natati alechem gidim, v'ha'aleti alechem basar, v'karamti alechem or, v'natati v'chem ruach v'chiyitem, v'idatem ki ani Adonai. What is this description, you guys?
A time machine.
Grammatically?
No. I'm talking now. Close your eyes and feel how God is bringing back these bones into life. First, the bones are going to get some kind of breathing in them.
Mm-hmm.
Then they're going to be attached with
sinews,
gidim. And then flesh. And on top of the flesh, skin to protect the flesh. This is what we are made out of.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Or.
Having worked in surgery, yes.
Don't do that right now. But I want you to feel what he's saying here. It's very, very like visual, and all these verbs are specific verbs for that specific thing, because you can easily say lasim, 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 to put on, to put on, or to connect, lechaber, lechaber, lechaber. But look at the verbs, right? Natati gidim, he'eleti, I brought up upon it, over it, the flesh. Ikaramti, like krem. Krem, krum, like cream. When you boil milk and you let it sit, what do you get? Like a crust on the very top. That's
skin.
That's what you call them, skin. This is what it is.
Yeah.
It's a verb in Hebrew, karamti krum. Karamti or. Yeah, so when somebody gets an injury and there is
the
right.
The scab is a crumb. It's a covering, kind of a
specific to skin though, skin like stuff.
Well, anything that kind of has that kind of.
The process of any injury that's mending, you have an open sore, in the healing process. That's exactly what happens in the healing process. Until the skin heals itself.
Mm-hmm.
So this is the process of how the bones are going to come back to life.
So we're talking about kind of internal healing from inside out, until the bones are healed together and back into.
And remember, I don't want to take you there, but you know, when we are buried,
mm-hmm.
we're buried with all of our flesh and skin on top of us, and
mm-hmm.
we're in the grave, we're becoming dry bones, and the dry bones are the first thing. What is the first thing when somebody dies, goes away? What is the first thing that goes away?
The breath.
The breath. And that's the first thing that comes back in the person.
Right.
And unless you were next to a person who died in your arms, you don't understand what it means that the breath is taken away.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, the breath is literally taken away. Because if somebody just took it out. And this is the first thing that's going to come back. That puff, first back in those bones. And only then everything else. So, Yechezkel is talking now. V'nibeti ka'asher tzuveti. Nibeti? With vinyan.
Nibeti?
No. Vowels, guys. Nibeti.
P-L?
You have an aleph. That's right. P-L. The geshporte in the bet. Nibeti? Ka'asher tzuveti. Which vinyan is that? Pual, very good. And the pair pual.
I don't know. I didn't do that.
Actually, you were always good at that.
Yeah.
But which one?
Libeti ka asher tzuveti. Tzuveti. Vayehi kol. Vayehi kol kehinavi. And there is a sound as I was prophesizing. You see the K instead of le? Lehinave, le, ken? From Nifel. Here is kehinavi. As I was prophesizing. Vehine ra'ash. Ra'ash, what's ra'ash?
Noise.
So where does the sound and noise come from? I don't want you to read ahead. I want you to think. He is not prophesizing exactly like God told him to do.
It's coming from the bones.
The bones are moving in that valley. Exactly. Vatikrevu atzamot etzem el atzmo. The bones got closer. One bone to its own. As if in the graves, each bone knew exactly which part belongs to what. Veraiti vehine alehem gidim uvasar ala vayikran alehem or milemala veruach ein bahem.
As long as we take it, there's no breath yet.
So wait a minute. So now all the bones are together, the sinews are together, the flesh and the skin is okay, but there is no
spirit, no breath.
Vayomer elai, hinave el haruach, hinave ben adam, ve'amarta el haruach. So as he prophesizes, actually the spirits was not the first thing that came. It's God's breath. It's the last thing that's going to come in. Vayomer elai, hinave el haruach. So who is vayomer elai? Who is amar li again? He told me.
Ezekiel?
God is telling Yechezkel again. Yechezkel Satan, right, is the one who is speaking. Hinave el haruach. Hinave ben adam. By the way, I want you to, you have papers, and you can mark down the key sentences that are repeating. Hinave el haruach. Hinave ben adam is the second time that it comes back as a phrase. And he also had le'alot gidim.
There's poetic repetition.
Absolutely. And likrom or, there was another repetition there. Aniv mevi v'chem ruach v'chiten v'chit itzav. So it's really nice to see the repetition. So it's less scary to read the whole thing. Ve'amarta el haruach, and you shall say to the wind, to the spirit, to the breath, Ko amar Adonai Elokim. So said, or such said, God art the Lord. Me'arba ruchot bo'i haruach.
From all the four winds will come spirit.
From now, ruchot are also the directions. So from all directions, all four directions, should the winds come, boya ruach, come the spirit. Ufchi baharugim. Now, nafach nun feichet. This is nun feichet, the nun fell out in pa'al. Ufchi. Nun peichet lenapeach balon. When we take a balloon and we blow in it, lenapeach in pl. In the Bible, paal un ufchi baharugim. Right, like kotni natan. Right, ufchi command form, and blow into the harugim. What's harag? Harag is killed, slain. Harugim are the slain ones. All these bodies that are lying down in the valley are all slain people.
Not just dead.
That's from the writing. That's what I understand, right? Mm-hmm. It's not the metim.
No.
Not the dead. Harugim.
What is nefach again?
Nefach is nefach. Blow.
To blow. Okay, that one. Okay, thank you.
But not to blow the wind.
Right.
We blow breath. Like,
and we're talking about like one breath. This is a breath.
Ufri baharugim. Boi haruach. Ufri baharugim. Come the wind. So the wind.
Yes.
I cannot conceptualize wind as one.
Boi haruach. Haruach is a singular.
It's a singular form, but it is.
Specific, right?
It's coming from all four corners of the world that inflate the bodies.
I mean, it's not plural. That's what I'm saying.
So I want you to think about this, guys. It didn't say that the spirits are going to come and get into the people. It says all the winds are going to blow, and the breath, God's spirit, is going to, the one wind, is going to get into the killed ones. These are nuances that you need to interpret for yourselves, and the English will not necessarily reflect that for you. Ken?
The image I got was like it's coming from the four winds, like the four directions.
Of the world, like the four north, south,
but it becomes one breath.
It's all
breath like that.
You can look at it that way. For me, at that moment, I felt like Tohu Vavohu, the Ruach Elohim Erachefta Bnei Adam, the first day of creation. There was Tohu Vavohu, the world was a huge mess, and the only thing that was above the water is God's spirits. Remember that? That image? That's the image I get. Aruchot, they're all, like, whenever it's really windy in my backyard, let me tell you, I feel godliness. The trees are moving, and the tips of the trees are touching one. I'm telling you, it's like, you wonder, how do you feel God in this world? Like you ask these children all the time, how do you feel God in the world? For me, hearing the winds blow through the night is godliness. What can I tell you?
Well, you must have had a good night last night.
Yeah.
ופחי בהרוגים האלה ויחיו, and they shall live. והנה ביתי כאשר ציווני. This time it's not פועל. Listen to the game of Binyamin. והנה ביתי, and I prophesy that התנה ביתי, the התפעל, the tav fell out.
It's התפעל.
Right? That's the only time in the Bible that it happens, remember, with this nun bet aleph. והתנה ביתי כאשר ציווני. I almost said צוויתי. And I prophesied as he commanded me. ותבוא בהם הרוח, and the spirit came in them. ויחיו. ויעמדו. על רגליהם. חיל גדול מאוד מאוד. נאו חיל.
חיל הקודש.
אשת חיל.
So that's very, exceed, very...
Well, מאוד מאוד.
מאוד is very, very.
מאוד מאוד is the very, very.
Excellent.
גדול מאוד מאוד. חייל גדול מאוד מאוד. Now, what is חייל in Hebrew?
חייל.
Soldier.
Yeah.
Oh, right.
But אשת חייל.
אשת חייל, woman of valor. Okay. Right? Like, she's a soldier. That's exactly right.
Yeah. All I can think of is the Chinese army.
Oh, yeah.
God.
But they are waiting for the wind of God.
You mean the figures?
Now, is this all taking place right, like in the story?
In his dream, isn't this?
No, guys, this is the prophesizing.
Yeah,
he is. This is the prophecy that he's going to see. This is nothing. It did not happen at the time of the story. This is why we don't talk about present tense, past tense, future tense in the Bible. We talk about aspects. Because for Yechezkel, he is in the here and now of the story, and from the here and now of his story, he is prophesizing over the future that we didn't experience yet. You understand?
He experienced this himself.
He doesn't. He's envisioning. Mm-hmm. That's part of his prophecy.
But then in the envisioning, he speaks as if it were happening.
Exactly.
Right then.
And what helps you to understand that is the language that they play with. That's why the Vava Hipuch, the conversive of, and that's why there is no exact translation to the tenses, because there are aspects in the Bibles, there are no precise tenses.
Yeah.
Okay, and you feel it right here. It's nothing like prophecy to understand that. Okay. Vayomer Elai. Ben Adam. How come he doesn't call him once, Yechezkel? You want to tell me?
Excuse me?
He calls him Ben Adam. Ben Adam, Ben Adam, Ben Adam.
Yeah, mortal.
As opposed to what?
A name.
As opposed to, or, as opposed to his first name, and as opposed to.
What?
That's what he's
Ish.
Human. He's made out of earth. And what is God?
Yeah.
And what is
okay.
God?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Spirits.
Right, right, right.
Okay, he stands as a direct. Are you taking prophets with. So, any of this you talk about in your class?
We got this for you. Yeah, we talked about some.
Mm-hmm. And we talked about this with Reuven last
year. Are you in Reuven too?
No, last year I
took
him.
You took the same class?
No, I took one with most of the people didn't like the Hebrew. It was not, it was a separate kind. I wish I'd been in that
class. But is it, to correct me if I'm wrong, but in the modern Hebrew, do they refer, when they say Ben Adam, it refers to mankind in general?
So yes,
maybe this is like a universal truth? Or this, so it's not, he's not, maybe... God is not only talking to Yeskel.
So let's talk about the phrase Ben Adam.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Ben Adam, and the son of
Adam.
So that makes every human
mm-hmm.
Ben Adam.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The rabbis in the rabbinic era, b'makom she'en Adam tehiye Adam. Right? In a place where there is no person, there is no human, be human. Okay. You be the one to be the mensch. Okay? So Ben Adam, from the physical being, the son of Adam, to becoming a son of humanity, a child of humanity, which he's referred to him as a child of humanity. And then rabbinic Hebrew is saying, son of humanity? What does it mean to be a child a child of humanity? It means to be the mensch that we're expected to be. The Nazis were not. Right?
Right. You're trying to be the son of the first human, next generation.
We don't know what they were.
We don't know.
We don't know what they are.
The first
brainwashed. They were humans. They were limited humans.
But that still doesn't answer the question why he didn't use his name.
It's a question. I am living it with you. I am. I want to. I will go back to the meaning of his name because I don't want to give you all the answers. I want you to explore. You know, this is a language class. You're going to explore. There is Reuven's class of prophets. Soon. Yechezkel. Yechezakel. He is there. What is his purpose? What's the purpose? Each prophet had a purpose and a job.
Make God stronger. I mean, he's bringing
God will get
God.
Stronger.
Through
so,
his words.
Okay.
Yeah.
So think about it that way.
It's almost like the name, I think,
and
isn't relevant to God. This is his function in among men. But
so ask yourself the question: was there a poetic message as human, as opposed to the godly spirits and the winds?
I have another theory, but that's
okay.
Okay. Well, poetically, look at how where we're talking about how the. How everything was built up from the very basic.
Okay.
So Yehezkel is only the skin, but looking deeper, he's also a son, he's also a brother, he's also a member of Eretz Yisrael. And to the very basic bone, bare bones of what Yehezkel is he's Ben Adam.
Mm-hmm.
Like the very basic.
That's
what's more universal.
So he was stripped down also. Okay. And then
he's relating something. That he's not really experiencing in the present.
That's right. He's not experiencing in the present.
Now, and
Coleman.
An answer or commenting on what you were saying, because when we look at Isaiah and Jeremiah, they're speaking as God, they're relating something that they experience in the present, and God is speaking directly to them, and he's calling them by name. But this is not the present. He's not relating something that's happening to him right now. He's relating something that is happening to him, but it's going to happen in the future. So he's not speaking to him. He's not saying Ezekiel. That's a difference.
Okay. I feel like he is speaking to him. He tells him what he's saying.
No, he is speaking to him, but he's not speaking to him. Ezekiel's
to
not,
do it in the here and now.
He's not speaking to him.
at the moment.
Because when God speaks directly, right now, and God speaks to Isaiah right now, and he personifies and speaks to my name, but this is not the case here.
I agree.
Well, he's telling us about when God did this.
Yeah, he's talking about something that will happen as opposed to the service of Jeremiah.
No, but he's talking about what did happen. God said this to him.
That this will happen.
Yeah, but the first part is God told me all this when he carried me to the valley.
Right, you're right, but this will still will happen.
It's
not something that he's going to tell the people. He's telling us only through, okay.
No, he's not going to care about telling the people what's in verse 1 and 2. Is that what you mean?
Doesn't matter. That's fine. Keep it for your Bible classes. Let's just go through the language.
Okay, so we have to learn more language.
Remember, all these things are coming up. These are all theological, deep theological issues that people were researching.
Right.
Theology and all that stuff. Okay.
Can I ask a language question?
Okay.
You're good.
At the end of the first half of verse 11, it says, Hema.
Hema is him. Hema in Zanat.
Oh, it's just a fancy version of him.
Yeah, don't forget this. Ani. What's the other form in the Bible for Ani?
Anochi.
Ani.
Oh,
right.
So this is a long version.
Ata, the ata. Ve'at, ve'at. Who is always this way. He is always written this way, but you're supposed to read he. There is always...
Cute. What? Say that again?
There is a difference in biblical Hebrew between k'tiv, it's written this way, and tell you to kri, this way. All of them, JPS also marks this.
Say that again.
There is a phenomenon in the Bible.
Yes.
Where written words
right.
are not written the same way you pronounce them.
Right, mm-hmm. Okay.
So the written form is called k'tiv.
Oh, okay.
And
okay.
The vocalized version...
Okay.
That they ask you to say out loud is called kri. Please read this way. Okay? So the word she in the Bible is consistently written this way.
That's who?
Okay. Which is hey vav.
Can you imagine?
So how do you know?
Because the oral Torah is the
because.
Older.
Right, that's right.
Because it's right.
And
yeah,
then
right.
it's written this way, and when you look at your JPS, you'll see Chirik under.
Still,
telling
you could
read this way.
You could get into distressing
but
commentary.
You were so trained that
it.
You didn't notice it until now. Mm-hmm. And you went through all this education, you see, you didn't notice. Something good went through. No, really. It is just to tell you that, you know, to pay attention to biblical phenomena, you have anachno, but you also have nachno. The aleph is prosthetic aleph. Nachnu ve'anachnu. You have atem, and you have atema. Very few times. You have atem, and you have atena, and it's very few times. But him, a lot, hema, v'hen, henna. Okay? And I'll tell you that this dagesh in them. What kind of a dagesh is it?
It's a soft one.
What?
It's a soft one.
Not
a quartet.
Why?
It is a
dagesh. The dagesh one is only begat kefe.
Okay,
so the other
that,
way, right?
That really
it must be dagesh forte. Now, dagesh forte is supposed to follow a short vowel. Is tsere a short vowel?
No.
How come? So what is it doing there?
Strikes that it's missing. Yeah.
This one is the one occasion, one of three occasions, one of few occasions in the Bible, we call it Dagesh Letiferet Hakri'ah, the beautification of the reading, which shows a poetic long form, make it really beautifully read. Beautification of the reading, really.
Uh-huh.
So when you see him,
so is that grammatical?
It is grammatically inappropriate to put the gesh forte there, and there it is there to tell you,
yeah.
Whenever the Torah was read, this was read hemma, the gesh forte in the mem. You need to emphasize it in your reading, and there are a few of them.
But the emphasis is the first syllable.
Hemma. Hemma.
Not hemma, but hemma.
Hemma. Hemma. It's really hem. Exactly. Mm. And it's really hen. Mm-hmm.
So you have to learn all this to chant.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And well, it will probably be marked in the trunk, won't it? In the
No. There is no atemma, but there are a couple of atemma.
Wait, what did you just...
I erased the atemma. The long ma atem. There is no long atem. There is long hemma and henna. A little bit more frequently than atena, but atena exists at maybe two times. In the whole Bible. Okay. Good question.
And henna, here's henna.
ויאמר אליי בן אדם, העצמות האלה, כל בית ישראל המה. הנה אומרים, יבשו עצמותינו, ועבדה תקוותינו, נגזרנו לנו. Okay? God told me, בן אדם, these bones, or the whole house of Israel, they are. Are you following?
Mm-hmm.
Here they say, now I want you to tell me who is they say.
Oh, the bones.
The bones or the living people? Our bones are dry, our hope is lost, we're all torn apart. Lachen, therefore, hinave, go and prophesy. Ve'amarta aleihem, and you shall tell them. Kol amar Adonai Elokim. So said God, the Lord our God, or God Lord, right? Ine ani foteach et kivroteichem. Here I open your grace. V'ha'aleti etchem mikivroteichem ami. I will raise you from your...
From your
graves, my people. My people. Ve'heveti etchem el admat Yisrael. And I shall bring you to the land of Israel.
You want to just say that last term?
What?
We have to fill in that last line. It's not here on the page.
Because now the whole debate goes on.
You're missing. Oh my God! Stay together backwards.
Okay. So where did I? Where did I? Which passage did I stop?
Okay. You're on 15.
You finished 12. You just finished
12. So the promised land is promised to everyone who died in the diaspora too, not just. And I always wonder if that passage refers to the Jews who were thrown into. Who were killed in and put right into one grave.
But this says these are the ones who were slain. Mm-hmm.
That's why I'm saying Holocaust.
Yeah. Yeah.
It seems to me though, if God can do this, why can't He put ashes together? Or she put ashes together.
Well, there's other reasons.
Because you need dry bones, and they are not bones anymore. They are dust. They are not part of this earth.
So that's pretty awful for those people.
They made a decision. That's why Jews don't do that.
No, but I thought that the ones who were burned up in the...
In Holocaust.
Yeah. There's got to be a way.
I don't
want to
think. I really don't want to think.
Well, isn't this referring to soldiers?
There's been consideration of the halakha. But now the real prohibition about halakha, about cremation, is that it's more polluting. I mean, it's devastating. Mm-hmm. But because of the burnings, there have been some changes about this prophecy here. What happens to people who are burned?
Right.
Not by their choice.
Right.
If people got thrown into the fire throughout history, does that mean they don't get to come? So it's not as hard and fast of a rule.
Doesn't this talk about soldiers? Because we saw Chayil.
Chayil. So Kalman, you are a man as a soldier of God. You are a man, soldier of God. You're a woman, soldier of God.
Oh, we
so
are
we just men? All are by who we are.
I thought maybe we were going to leave the women out.
No.
And Shekhan, you mean?
But she's not exactly
the liberal. She's
going and
The next essay in the Bible is Chazon Acharit HaYamim. what will happen in the after times, right? And after all the Jews will be after the resurrection of the dead, what will the world look like after Mashiach comes?
Correct.
So there is an image, right? I gave you two sections. I gave you one that talks about Yechezkel,
chapter 11.
Oh, the Isaiah. Oh, right.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yes.
Isaiah 11. You're not going to do the whole chapter?
No.
No,
I'm not doing the whole chapter.
No, all of the
Lord. We're going to go to Reuben's class to do the whole chapter.
We're going
to
be leading with the
Isaiah.
Isaiah, the wolf with the lamb, not the lion. Cool, I like wolves.
So I want you to just, you know, there is a lot medieval art around what the world is going to look like in the after days.
Oh,
it's very, like...
But that's the
you know, growing up in Israel, it makes you very sarcastic, to have a very sarcastic look about this text. So forgive me.
What?
Yeshayahu, go into Isaiah, chapter 6, was it?
No, 11.
Chapter 11.
6 through 9, you've got here. 6
through
9.
And Isaiah is a very long book, by the way.
Oh, yeah. Or maybe 6 is us.
11.
So wolf is Ze'ev?
Ze'ev. So now if you didn't know animal names, this is how you're going to learn your animals.
I visited wolves last winter.
I know why you like the beginning, because it's mostly Kabbalistic spirit. Were you talking about that?
No, I just like some of this, the Hebrew does not bring, the literal does not translate exactly what the Hebrew says.
So we're not going to look into the English, we're going to look into the Hebrew.
I know, but I wish you would do that for the first part, because it's really beautiful.
It is beautiful. It is beautiful, and I will encourage each one of you to look into the Hebrew. Or go to
and we can write our journals on our interpretation.
The hug you make, absolutely. I love that idea.
I do too.
Look into these texts and tell me, you know, you can share about your feelings about the text. It's okay to write it in a journal about that. But I started deliberately on, I think,
6 is what?
Yeah.
On
Pasuk 6. Because it talks about the actual living, who will live with what, and the physicality of things. And the first section of this chapter talks about the spiritual organization of things. And it's very Kabbalistic in its vocabulary. Okay? So let's leave it there and go to from the Kabbalistic spheres to on the earth. Okay, what's happening? 6. Begar ze'ev im keves. So keves kvasim. The sheep.
That's a lion right there, right?
No, ze'ev is a wolf.
I mean, wolf. Yeah.
Ze'ev is a wolf. Like when you see a man, a Jewish man, his name is Wolf, you should know that his Hebrew name is Ze'ev. Binyamin Ze'ev Herzl. Herzl's first name in German was a wolf. Ze'ev Keves. Venamer, tiger. Im Gdi Yirbots. Yirbots, it's a language.
Wait. I have a question.
Okay.
Venamer.
Namer, tiger.
Is tiger?
Tiger or leopard? It says
Namer to this day is tiger.
No, is that the same in Daniel?
They're all from the same. No. In Daniel is a lion.
Well, the
lions.
So.
No, but then.
Aryeh. Danielim Aryeh.
The four beasts.
Begova Aryeh.
The lion, the bear. It's the lion and the bear and the leopard with four heads.
Well,
yes.
The four heads thing was from the cat family, but it didn't have...
But what animal was it?
I don't remember. Okay. I really don't remember. Sorry.
But here they translate as leopard, but you're saying it's not. It's
okay. It's the same family.
But they live
but
in
you
different
want
parts, of,
parts
the
of the world.
Yeah, but...
But they didn't know that then. I'm just curious which it is. Is it,
you
is
put yourself in the land of Israel, and what do we have? We do not have the African tigers, so leopard would be more appropriate.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we really don't.
So there's no different word for tiger, leopard.
No, we don't. They're all lemerim, mishpachat hachatulim. They're all cats.
Oh, okay.
Namer, and when they brought a tigris, a tiger yeah. they borrowed Tigris.
Oh, I see.
Okay. And they went when they brought the puma, they called it puma, but they didn't. So it's a good question about the physical geographical.
Tigers are not African. They're
so, but Namer is translated into tiger. If you open a dictionary, Namer is a tiger. Venamer in Gdi. Gdi is a baby goat.
Yeah.
It's a
kid.
Okay. Gdi. Yirbats. Yirbats. Now look at Ravats. Ravats in Pa'al is just lying down getting lazy. Just like lions do in corners, right? In the middle of the meadow. In Hif'i, Leharbit is exactly the opposite. You hit them to get up and to move. You hit the horse, there are beats. Yeah? So so they will just lie there lazily. Ve'egel u'chfir u'meri yachdav. So egel is a baby cow, a calf. Kfir, they call it, they said it's a beast of prey. Kfir is a big lion. It's appear. It appears again in this Shimshon story. And he tore that lion apart. Remember?
Yep.
Umiri. Mm-hmm. I'll accept their translation. I don't have another animal to. Yachdav, together. Okay.
What's your dagesh?
Dagesh kalaf tishbanach yachdav. Venaar katon nohegba. So you have a picture of half of really wild beasts, and then very gentle baby animals. And who is in control? Who is shepherding them?
The little kid.
This is what it's going to be. The Jesus. Parents don't count in the world. The kids really know better than we do. They lead the world. The next generation, so we need to educate them real well, real young, so when they are in leadership role, they always do the right thing. V'na'a katon nohek bam. Ufara vadov tir'ena yachdav yirbetsu yaldehen. A cow and a bear will graze together, together their children will lie down lazily. And the lion, kabakar yochal teven. Yes, right.
Just like a lion's eye. And that's the way our children.
It's are. I don't like when they do it an ox because an ox is a specific.
It's a shore.
It's a shnachon. An ox is a specific family member from the bakar family. Remember?
So bakar is what? It's just...
All the cattle. Bakar is cattle.
Yeah.
So in Aryeh, like cattle, will eat hay, straw. Ve'sha'asha' yonek alchu paten. And I will tell you that this is major in the interpreters. Ve'sha'asha' yonek. Yonek is any animal, mammal. Sha'asha yonek. A mammal will play on a viper's hole.
So it's not just a child.
Right. Yonek is any type of, is the family member. In the world of biology of mammals, yonek is a mammal. And they specifically went to a human baby.
So
when you leave them in the garden back then, a snake would easily crawl towards them. And
but that's so there's nothing in the Hebrew about a sucking mammal,
only
a sucking child.
Suck, though,
right? Sucking, no. Play.
Well, yeah, the sucking supplies mammal.
Right, but it's bad.
You know, playground? How do you say playground in Hebrew?
Okay.
Gan. Gan. Sha'ashu'im. Sha'ashu'im. You see the root shin'ayin, shin'ayin? When they said to play. So, playground is Gan.
שעשועים. לשעשע is PL fully in four root letters.
אוקיי. הלכו פטן. The whole of a pitten. Pitten is a type of a dangerous poisonous snake that lives in the Middle East, particularly in Canaan. Ve'al me'urat tzif'oni. Tzif'on is another type of a snake. So one lives in the garden in holes and one lives in me'ura. Me'ura is a collective home of many, is the house of snakes. What is it called?
A nest.
A den.
Is it what you use in English too, really?
Yeah.
We'd say a den, but den can be used for other things too.
Of course, a den, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But that's what it is. Can you have a den in a house?
Gamul yado hada.
So hada is a den?
No, me'ura is a den.
Oh, the hand.
Oh, okay.
Yada is hand.
Yado is hand.
And then hada means on it or to it or something?
Well, there is a...
His hand. Yado is his hand. Yado is his hand. Okay.
Yeah, so let's talk about gamul for a minute.
Yeah.
I want to talk about gamul before I go there. Gemilut chasadim.
Yeah.
Is to do good deeds, right? But what is gamul when you say about a baby?
To do things, to take action.
When a mammal is first born, what do mammals do?
Suck.
That's why they nurse. So when they are when they are not nursing anymore, when you stop nursing them, it's called they are weaned. That's gamul.
Oh, so
a wean is hand. Okay, and an infant has his hand.
Well, that's why they said sucking child in the translation.
Yes.
But here they're using weaned as a verb, kind of?
Absolutely. This is a Benoni Pa'ul verb, and I learned those forms.
No, but he weaned it.
Yeah. Or it's an adjective, isn't it?
No, here they're making it an adjective in the translation.
Because they are used as sagul. What is sagul? It's closed. Closed window. Closed park. Right? Gan na'ul, sagur, chalon sagur.
But, I mean, here, do you see it as an adjective modifying yado?
I
see the adjective being used as a noun.
It's a part of, you do not know these forms, that's why it's hard. But Lillian,
no,
I don't want to teach you all biblical Hebrew on one foot.
No, I see it.
It's a passive participle of pa'al.
Right.
Okay, and the other words you know from this is sagur or patua.
Those are
the passive participles. These are the passive participles, those of you who know what they are.
Mm-hmm.
So? How far did I go? Through nine?
So now we're at nine.
Okay, mm-hmm. The word I can't get is hadah.
I know, it's a hard word to translate. His hand was there, he was pulling his hand.
There?
It sort of means there, to there.
Because hadah, it comes from the, it's going to be some kind of, and I need to look into that. I don't remember. Sorry.
But it's referring back to the basilisk den, which is mentioned before.
So it's a verb.
No. It's a what do they call it? Where you put your
because it says on the den of the snake, the weaned child, his hand is there.
That's on the
gamul yado sham. If you just say hada sham. But before I tell you for sure, I really want to check something before I tell you that's for sure.
So there's no real verb.
You don't need to, because the gamul is a verb-derived form.
But the meaning of that...
Hayeled yado sham. The child, his hand is there. Can you see that as a translation?
Right,
that's exactly the picture you have.
Right. So the gamul
is talking about the child, not talking about the child's action.
No, that's correct. Yeah, there is no...
It
right,
is
the child is not
the
in
child.
Action. He's not doing an action. This is a non-verbal sentence.
Right.
Okay.
That will help immensely. Non-verbal.
Tzifoni. Tzifoni is another type of snake.
And that...
Peten and tzifoni.
And that again shows...
And don't confuse it with tzivoni, which is a tulip.
Which is a what?
So
it's like people say safta, and it's actually savta. And I say, please don't confuse tzivoni with tzifoni. Tzifoni with a fey is a type of a snake. And tzivoni is multicolor, and they call the tulips multicolor. Tzivoni.
So what's a
fey versus a... Fey versus fey. Yeah, the audio piece. Tzifoni is the snake. Sefa, tzifoni. Seva, the color, tzifoni. Okay? Sefa is a type of a... okay. Vehaya, no, where am I? Lo yare'u ve'lo yashchitu b'chol har kodshi. In all of the mountain of my holiness, what will happen? They will not do anything bad. Lo yare'u. They will. Ve'lo yashchitu, and they will not corrupt. Lo yare'u ve'lo yashchitu. Parallel. Lo yare'u.
What did you say? Yare'u. What did you? I mean, anything bad.
Lo yare'u, lo ya'asu ra, ve'lo yashchitu. You have it from, Avraham, Sodom and Gomorrah, and you have. In Bereshit, it's heavily used. Ha'aretz mushchetet, corrupt. Ve'lo yashchitu. So they will not. Nothing bad is going to be there on the mountain of my holiness. No, shochet is a tet. Like slaughter is a tet. Okay. Lo yare'u ve'lo yashchitu bechol har kodshi. Ki mal'ah ha'aretz de'a et Adonai. Why will there not be anything bad going
because
on?
Because knowledge of God
has filled
the
world
with
knowledge.
Like water.
Because the land is going to be full of what?
Knowledge.
What does it mean? De'a et Adonai. De'a et Adonai.
Knowledge to know that
knowledge.
God.
Et
knowing.
Adonai is a direct
knowing,
object here.
Yes.
I want you to think about how you're going
the
to translate
of God.
That.
Our knowing of God.
They know God. The country is full of knowledge of God. Okay? Kamaim layam mechasim. And there is a metaphor here.
Yeah.
Like what? Just like water is for the ocean. Water to the ocean. The water covers the ocean just like the knowledge of God is in the land. This is the metaphor. Okay? Isaiah, this is the image, this is what we need to look forward to when Mashiach comes.
Well, as we read, Christians say one way, we have.
It's okay, I'm a Jew.
What
I
is
the
time for Mashiach?
Line.
What does that mean?
Who's the Christian?
Not
live.
Their Mashiach has come. He's come to that.
Yeah, but yeah, he's going to have
he
a second.
Back.
Yeah, come back
and do the same thing? Or
well,
do
no,
it
well,
same.
Is he God? Has he had to experience God?
I know. For some reason, I don't understand.
Okay, I forgot my watch today.
It's 12:30.